I don't know if you remember last time I shared with you on a Sunday morning. I talked about the resurrection a little bit. Possibly got slightly carried away. Forgive me for that. I'm just going to return to that theme, if that's okay, this morning. If you weren't here, very quick summary, and also it helps me to remember what I was talking about. So we look briefly at the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. Do you remember that? The evidence. Do you remember what those evidences were? So we had, I mean, this isn't by any means comprehensive, but we had the empty tomb. We looked at the fact that it is a fact, a historic fact, verifiable. We thought briefly about the fact that the New Testament record is full of evidence, and we also added to that transformed lives. I don't know if you remember that, but that's what we just briefly looked at as we considered the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. And then we moved on to the nature of the resurrection of Jesus. And we thought briefly about this was the first of its kind. So different to Lazarus, miraculous though that was. And talk about being called by name and the power of the name of Jesus. There's an example for you right there in John 11, isn't it? So Jesus, the name that is above every name, says, "Hey friend, Lazarus, come forth." So when he calls you by name, you got no excuse. He was so far gone. He hadn't just died, but according to Jewish thought, he died and gone irretrievably beyond. 4 days, wasn't it? So Jesus was just demonstrating there that when you feel like things have gone irretrievably out of reach, he's the one who calls by name and is able to reach the unreached peoples. Glory to his name! What an impetus for mission! Nowhere beyond his reach. Anyway, so we talked briefly about the nature of the resurrection of Jesus. Listen to this from C.S. Lewis. I don't know if you're into C.S. Lewis. It's okay if you're not. I think this is quite good. The New Testament writers speak as if Christ's achievement in rising from the dead was the first event of its kind in the whole history of the universe. He is, and we touched on this last time, the first fruits. C.S. Lewis goes on, because he's a bit of a wordsmith, the pioneer of life. He has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the king of death. Everything is different because he has done so. This is the beginning of the new creation. A new chapter in cosmic history has opened. Go on, Clive Stapleton Lewis. A new chapter in cosmic history? I'm liking that book. Glory to his name. I can't overstate the power and the wonder of this miracle that has been wrought in Christ, namely the resurrection. Glory to God. The nature of the resurrection. We touched on that. Three, the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We read this scripture: if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. This is Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. Goodness me, Paul. He's making a powerful point there. Just think about those words. Your faith is futile. Well, is it? Work backwards. You are still in your sins, he says. This is, the condition is, if the dead do not rise and Christ is not risen. That's the condition. If that isn't the case, Paul argues, Your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. This isn't there, but you're deluded. You're living in a fantasy world. Oh. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And then he comes with this big point at the end of this section. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Wow. That's some argument he's building there. Futility. Most to be pitied. Still in your sins. Those who sleep, they've just perished. It's hopeless, this picture he's painting. If the condition at the beginning of that section isn't true. But then Paul says, but now is Christ risen. He's basically making the point that everything hangs on this. And his bold declaration in the power of the Holy Spirit with historic veracity is Christ is risen. Everything hangs on this. Glory to his name. He rose again from the dead. Oh, this is highly significant. Listen to this. Either it is infinitely more than a beautiful story, it is infinitely less. If it is true, then it is the supreme fact of history. And to fail to adjust one's life to its implications means irreparable loss. But if it is not true, if Christ be not risen, then the whole of Christianity is a fraud foisted on the world by a company of consummate liars, or at best deluded simpletons. St. Paul himself realized this when he wrote, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching meaningless, your faith worthless, more we ourselves are found to be false witnesses. That was from a chap called James Norman Dalrymple Anderson. And sir, for good measure. He was a lawyer and a missionary. He died in 1994. Just commenting on those scriptures is really interesting, isn't it? Reminds me of Lewis's trilemma. Do you remember that one? Liar, lunatic, Lord. There's no room for kind of this middle ground of, oh, he was this, or, oh, it might have happened, or it's figurative. There's no room for that. Either it did or it didn't. Highly significant. We finished last time by looking at scriptures, and I don't know if you remember, if you were there, people read out scriptures. I find it's such a blessing. Brothers and sisters around the room, we've had it this morning, contributing. And we looked at the fact that linked with the resurrection of Christ, the scriptures say he's our living hope because of the resurrection, our regeneration, our justification, our sanctification, our motivation, our resurrection. Glory to his name. So we got to there. And then I asked the question, and we had run out of time slightly. Resurrection life now or later? What do you think? What do you think? Thanks, Mum. I know what you think. What do you think? Resurrection life now or later? Both. Okay. To what extent?
That we know it now.
Yeah.
We have a deposit now.
A deposit now. I like that, Mike. Say again. The engagement ring, to link in with the wonderful theme of the Lord of love amongst us this morning. Foretaste of glory divine, possibly, Richard. Yeah. I don't mean that. Yeah, no, absolutely. Sorry. I wondered if you were quoting that hymn. A foretaste, deposit, engagement ring. Say again? The guarantee. The promise. Oh, this is all good, isn't it? Wonderful. Just listen to this scripture from Romans 6:4. Thinking just for a moment initially about now. Then we're going to think briefly about later. And then we'll come back to the challenge of now. Because I don't know about you, but it's dawned on me that we're living now. Okay, Romans 6, verse 4, it says this: just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, and then you've got this little connector, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Wow. Let me say that again. So, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. I love that idea. That he was raised by the glory of the Father. Oh, wonderful. Death could not hold him, we sang. Death is no match for the glory of the Father. We read in Acts, it was impossible that death should hold him. Absolutely. Raised by the glory of the Father. And that's wonderful. And sometimes we go, don't we? And we're like, oh, wonderful. Glory to God. And then here's the rubber hits the road application. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. I've been mulling this over and cogitating and chewing, and that's a remarkable two parts, if you like, there. And sorry to ask perhaps an obvious question, but when do you think Paul in Romans 6 is talking about when he says, even so, we also should walk in newness of life? When do you think he's talking about? Sure, I'm not wrong there. He's not sort of projecting that into the future when we're looking forward to that day. Absolutely. But he's talking about now, isn't he? So we should walk in newness of life now. And this is, by this scripture, this is definitely impacted by the fact, the nature, the significance of the resurrection of Jesus. He makes that explicit link. Okay, in Romans 8:11, here's another corker. I'm just taking these out, just and sort of standing them up on their own, if you like, a little bit out of their context. I'm not reading before or after. I'm just trying to make the impact of these verses that we're so familiar with really hit home. Listen to this in Romans 8:11. But if, love these little if clauses, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Let's pause there. Does he? Yeah? So, the spirit dwells in you. This is the spirit, for the point of what we're looking at this morning, this is the spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. So we've got here, if you link with the other verse, the glory of the Father and the spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit, you could make that link and say, is an expression of the glory of the Father. Yeah? So if the spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Mortal bodies. When are we talking about? So, I know you're annoyed with me now, aren't you? Because I'm being way too pedantic and a little bit obvious. But I'm trying to make a point. So Paul here is definitely focusing at this point on now. Now, the now is post-Pentecost. The now is post the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. So the possibility is that mortal bodies can be filled with the resurrection life of Jesus. That's truly staggering, my friends. If you've got a few difficulties with this in your mind, that's totally fine. This is hard to process. I find this a tension when I see my dear friends weakening. Sometimes passing through great sickness and trial. I find this a tension. But those two things, glory to God, are not mutually exclusive. This can be absolutely true in the brother or sister who's drawing close to their last breath. And to all intents and purposes is broken and failing. Though the outward man perishes, Paul says elsewhere, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. In Proverbs we hear that the light of the just shines brighter and brighter and brighter to the perfect day. I think of our friend Dave Weatherly. I remember I saw him just the day he died. It was so upsetting to see how he looked in the hospital bed. But you know what? Even in that state, the nurses were saying, what is it about this man? There's a glory, there's a something. The Lord was ministering to the nursing staff and the doctors. Even though he could no longer speak, no longer say his manna lives and whatever else he used to say. I'm not trying to big our friend Dave up at all, and he'd be the last one to do that too. I'm telling you that the glory of Jesus fills a life, and though the outward man perishes, yet he is able to quicken. It says here, we read, it's just remarkable. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Do you think that means that we walk around in perfect fitness and vitality and health? And do you think that's what that verse means?
I think it does help.
It does help, yeah. Oh, Roddy, I love your measured response. That's very well. Not primarily, but it does help. Absolutely, I agree with you, and that's great. You should get into a commentary. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, some people try and interpret this verse to suggest that if we're passing through sickness, or if we're really weakened in our physical body, you know, we're kind of missing out here because we've got the resurrection life of Jesus in us now. So somehow that should manifest itself in a whole load more physical oomph. That's not the thrust of this. That's not the thrust of this. Does help. Think about walking in newness of life. Our brother Peter, we thought of recently again, with the Lord now. Praise God. Through all his weakness, this was being worked out in him. I think of many saints who've gone on before, and I've seen this worked out, even though they faded physically and then in the end died. Oh, bless the Lord. I'm just trying to make the point now. What about this? Listen. Wow, time's going, isn't it? I don't know if we're going to come back to now. Now, the risen Christ delights to reveal himself to lost humanity in diverse and unique personal encounters. I just thought briefly about in the scriptures. Think about Mary, talking about the name. Wow, when she heard the gardener. I love it. The gardener, actually, yeah. He was. Not that one. Not the one she was thinking about. Mary. And the risen Christ visited Mary and spoke her name through all her sorrow and loss and tears. He visited her. Think about Thomas. I think it's harsh to call him doubting Thomas. It's not fair that. He doubted, but then who hasn't? Thomas, Jesus called him. He didn't say, "Hi, doubting Thomas." No, he didn't. He said Thomas, that was his name, not doubting. It's amazing, isn't it? We label one another, hold past experiences against one another. Don't do it. Don't do it. Thomas, with all his doubt, justifiable, to be fair, he wasn't there, he hadn't seen. We sometimes come down like a ton of bricks. I'd like to think I would have just been, you know, so open and responsive, and though I was the only one who hadn't seen, I go, "It's okay, I don't need to see." They're all going, "We saw him, we saw him." I think, if I'm totally honest, whether it had come out, I would have wanted to too. Jesus knew that. He came to him. He visited him personally, uniquely. In the midst of all his doubt and questions, what about Peter? He visited him in the midst of all his failure and brokenness. He was a broken man, Peter. All his natural bravado and strength, broken. And the Lord, the risen Lord, the risen Lord visited him. Hallelujah. What about Paul? At the point at which Jesus took him down on the Damascus Road, Paul was militant and opposed to Christians, wasn't he? He was militantly opposed. He was absolutely convinced he was right, and he was on the road to do some damage to what was wrong in his mind. And the risen Lord visited him. Glory to his name. All of these people, all diverse, all different situations, contexts, and the risen Lord delighted to visit them. What about the two of them on the road? Dashed hopes. Confused. Is any of this ringing any bells? For any of you in your experience? The risen Lord visits us. Isn't that the most the risen Lord has visited me this morning. It's the risen Lord. In the power of His Holy Spirit, somehow miraculously through His people. This morning, He's here. He's been calling, whispering, drawing, compelling. Where do you fit? Dashed hopes, confusion, doubt, questions, sorrow, loss, failure, brokenness, maybe opposed. I don't know. Oh, praise God. Think of all the stories, countless dreams and visions, particularly in the Muslim community. Who's visited them? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus. Oh, He can call into the darkest place. Glory to His name. Isn't He wonderful? This is now. Now. The Holy Spirit, it says clearly in John, the Holy Spirit testifies of Christ, glorifies Christ and declares Christ. The Holy Spirit is at work in us now. We've just been encouraged to open our hearts to fresh infilling, even today. We've been exhorted to drink deeply. Of what? Who? Jesus, yeah. But the way that's worked out now is in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we say, fill me, Lord, fill me. He does that by filling us with the Spirit who raised Him from the dead. The Spirit of the living Christ. Isn't this amazing? I know we know it. I'm just reminding myself, and you all too. Oh, bless the Lord. Resurrection life is available to believers now. I just put this as I was pondering, just as a challenge to my own heart, in much greater measure than we realize or fully appreciate. But also, will be fully and perfectly realized and fully appreciated later without any restriction or hindrance. Do you believe the best is yet to come? Yes. Do you? Oh. I don't know quite how to put this into words. But you know, we've got the hope of glory in our hearts. It's embrace the tension, friends, because we've got the down payment. We've got the engagement ring on. We've got the promise. We've got the foretaste of glory divine. All of those things that you said earlier, we have them invested in us. It's very difficult to put this into words, isn't it? But we so want to be filled now. Amen to that. I'm filled. I'm filled. Go on, be being filled, says Paul, talking about now. But can I just say, what's coming is just going to blow not just our minds, but our whole reality. Paul, who was so filled, wasn't he? I mean, what an encounter he had with the risen Christ. It was unique and so powerful. Paul said, now we see as in a mirror, dimly, darkly. But then, oh, I'm telling you, we need to combine somehow the now and the desire and the hunger and the thirst and passion for His name and for fullness and all of those things now with the reality of the fact that there's a day coming. Glory to God, there's supposed to be a great, oh, come Lord Jesus, come. And at the same time, no, please Lord, hold off, because there's others. It's a tension, isn't it? It's a dynamic tension. I used to think tension was a bad thing. Now I'm thinking, wow, it's a good thing. Embrace the tension, friends. It's now and later. For the Lord's people, a wonderfully bright future has been secured. We're not going to read it, but if you look in the same chapter in Romans, Romans chapter 8, the whole creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Listen, there's a day coming. There's a day coming, my friends. The day of days, where the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords is coming, riding on the clouds. And the dead in Christ, all those who've died, who've given their lives for the sake of His name, all those who've lived, maybe they've wanted to go sooner, but the Lord's kept them on here through great pain and suffering, and they've sought to remain true and faithful. The dead in Christ, what will they do? Oh yeah, they're going to rise like nobody's business. Seriously, this is going to be the Oh, praise God. Because he's the first fruits, they're all going to rise. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we that shall remain will be caught up together. Oh, wow. What a rising. Glory to God. Seriously, sometimes we need to ponder these things. We need to grapple with them. This is so wonderful. This is why at the funeral recently, our hearts were filled with hope. And somehow, joy, unspeakable. Peter says, I'm full of glory. As an old man, he talks about joy unspeakable and full of glory. He was so concerned for the church. He was so concerned about inroads of sin in people's lives and what the enemy was doing to seek to thwart the purposes of God. He was so concerned about all of those things. He was heavily burdened. And yet, he said, who we don't see, yet we love. This is what we've tasted this morning. Oh, Lord of love, we love you. And the realization that you know us by name fills us with joy, inexpressible and full of glory. You see, we have the hope of glory. The hope of glory in our hearts. Don't lose heart, my friend. You have the hope of glory in your heart. There's plenty, if we focus on it, to make us lose heart. I read, just as I've been pondering this, and I'm going to finish here. I read, I don't know if people still read Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. Yeah, I dip in and out. I read it when I was a teenager. Wow. Then I gave it a break. Then I went back in, gave it another break. Anyway, in and out a little. I read February 16th through to 20th. In between the last time I'd thought about the resurrection and then coming to today. He talks five mornings in succession. Arise from the dead, he says in Ephesians. Arise from the dead, and he talks about how the Lord can speak, and then amazing, because of the resurrection, we can arise out of all that we may be in response to what the Lord says. Arise from the dead. This is practical application, isn't it? Arise and eat. In 1 Kings, do you remember the story? Big victory, next thing, depression. Massive spiritual victory. Next thing, hiding in depression. The antidote to this. The Lord comes to him, Elijah, and says, arise and eat. And then says again a second time, arise and eat. And he was buzzing off that food for 40 days, if I remember rightly. That was some slow release energy from that one meal. Goodness me. He went in the strength of what he ate that day. Well, isn't that right? For 40 days. That's normally known as fasting. The perspective on that was he had enough. Arise and eat. Rise, let us be going. That was the antidote to despair. Amazing, isn't it? Depression, despair. Arise and shine. That was the antidote to, guess what? Drudgery. Monday morning. Actually, I'm enjoying my work. Thanks for praying. At the moment, I'm still in the honeymoon phase. Been through a little bit of a wilderness for 16 years, but that's okay. Arise and shine. The antidote to drudgery. And arise, let us go from here. The antidote to daydreaming. I love a bit of daydreaming. And actually, Oswald suggests that daydreaming is okay in the right context, but not if God has clearly spoken to you to get up. You're not supposed to meditate on that and ponder the wonders of his word. You're supposed to get up. Oh, bless the Lord. We heard in the prayer meeting, I'm going to finish here and then I'm going to ask you if you, in the light of what the Lord is speaking to you personally, whatever your circumstances may be, I'm going to ask you specifically, do you, in response to Him and in response to His Word this morning, want to rise? Arise, my love. I think that's what the Lord's been saying. Arise, my love. My fair one, come away. In the prayer meeting on Thursday, we heard this. Rise up with wings as eagles. You will. On what basis? What's the condition? Who's that for? In Isaiah 40. You will rise up with wings as eagles. Who? Those that wait on the Lord. I'm glad Linda got it because she read Isaiah 40 on Thursday. Those that wait on the Lord shall rise up with wings as eagles. Oh, hallelujah. So in the great light of the ultimate reality that's coming and is yet to be revealed, let's allow the Lord to enlarge our hearts, stretch us, enlarge our capacities, and enable us against, so to speak, in our minds, all the odds, to rise up. Rise up and walk in newness of life now, in the light of what's coming. Who wants to? You don't have to actually get up. If you would like to do that as an expression of your response, feel free. Something needs to rise. Maybe just a hand. Maybe just your head. Maybe your heart inside needs to say, Lord, I'm rising to you. Out of despondency, despair, drudgery, whatever it is. By the way, the drudgery probably won't go away. That's part of life. But we can rise in the midst of it, day by day by day. Glory to His name. Amen. Should we do that?